You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, sponsored by flowmax.ie and bar1racing.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favourite podcast outlets. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello, everyone, and you're all very welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 4, Episode 20 tonight. Quite a big milestone for us this season, of all seasons. And yeah, it's a bit of a draw of the United special tonight. The Drogs are back at the Premier Division, promoted to the Premier Division after winning the title last night with their win over Cabinteely. So we're going to hear from their chairman, Conor Hoey, very, very shortly. He's going to be our first interview of the night. We'll hear from the man who led them to success this season, Tim Clancy. What a job he's done. And we'll also hear from a man who scored a crucial goal in that game last night, James Brown, or Jimmy Brown, as he's known to the draw of the faithful. But don't worry, though, everyone else, we've got loads of talking points. We're going to cover all the games in the First Division, all the games in the Premier Division, and look ahead to the weekend's League Cup and playoff action. There's an awful lot happening as the League of Ireland comes towards the business end of the season. And I'm delighted to say we're trying out a new bit of tech tonight, so it should sound like me and Gary Riley are sitting right next to each other. We're in fact many, many miles away. So Gary, how are you doing this evening?
I'm not too bad, Kieran. I hope the new tech works well for us. It sounds like you're sitting beside me is right, so hopefully it'll be a great show.
Yeah, most people said the sound quality is quite all right, but you're a very, very big man with your techie stuff, and you've floated this idea for a while, so we said we'd give it a go tonight. So listeners, if you do think it's a much better system, then let us know after the show, and we'll definitely keep it going for the future. But Gary, as I said, we've got an awful lot to get through tonight. I didn't even mention as well that we'll be chatting, obviously, Arsenal against Dundalk tomorrow night in the Europa League as well. But before we do any of that, we're going to open the show up with an interview tonight, and we're going to hear from the Drogheda United chairman, Conor Hoey, after the Drogs won the title last night. Now, he joined us on the show not so long ago, and at that stage we thought that maybe the title might be just getting away from Drogheda, but they've turned it around in the last couple of weeks when it mattered. They got their head in front of the line and they were crowned First Division champions last night. And I'm delighted to say Conor Hoey, the Drogheda United chairman, joins us on the show once again. Conor, congratulations.
Thanks very much, Kieran. I'm a bit hoarse this morning, but it's worth it. It was a fantastic night for the club, for everybody associated with the club, and for the town of Drogheda, most importantly. You know, Drogheda's had some tough times, as many regional towns in Ireland have had, and, you know, just have something positive in this awful year for the town and, you know, for everybody there and associated with the club. I think it's just wonderful, and, you know, puts a smile on a lot of people's faces, and that's what we're in football for.
And a brilliant night for the First Division as well, I think it has to be said. Cabinteely, big credit to them. I know we plugged it in our vodcast before the games on Tuesday night, but they were streaming the game for free last night, so as many people as possible could tune in. And I just seen this morning, I shared it there, over 20,000 people tuned into that stream last night. That shows the potential of the First Division if it's marketed correctly.
I was absolutely blown away when I saw that. I really was. I was thinking, I mean, it was a staggering stat, that. And again, you're right. The First Division has been brilliant. You know, it's funny. I know we're going up to the Premier and all the rest of it, but, you know, I cannot tell you how much I've enjoyed the relationship we've had with all of the clubs in the First Division. Everybody at every club, you know, I had messages from every single chairman or owner from every club across the league last night, without exception in the First Division. And we all get on really well. We all have a good laugh. We don't take ourselves too seriously. Well, we respect each other. We disagree on a lot of stuff, but we agree on an awful lot. And it's a wonderful example of how clubs can get on and work together. And the league, is, you know, it was one thing, you know, this phrase about the graveyard phrase. Yeah. You know, it's so unfair. This league is, the First Division is alive and it is thriving. It's a fantastic league. It has been so competitive. Personally, I think it's blown away by the Premier League this season. Yeah. You know, I really do. I think it's been so tight, it's been so exciting, and the quality of football's been really good. You know, I know last night probably wasn't the most beautiful game because of the tension, but there's been some wonderful goals. You've seen so many of them as well yourself. There's been some wonderful goals. You know, even the story of Galway nearly making it. I saw Duncan scored another super goal last night. And, you know, Cove again, so close, another brilliant club, and all the clubs who did make the playoffs. What a brilliant season. Entertainment right down to the last second.
Yeah, and let's go back to your game last night. It was nervy for a long, long time, but James Brown gets the goal then, and then you get a second goal as well to wrap it up. But it was nervy for a long, long time.
Oh, look, the first half was torture. You know, once we heard that, that Bray had gone ahead, you know, you're just there going, and it was, you know, we didn't really get hold of the game in the first half, even though it was a bit odd because, you know, we hit the crossbar after 38 seconds and we all thought the ball had bounced in. It was a bit of a 1966 moment. And then I thought, God, is it going to be one of these nights like it was in Kiev back in 2008, you know, and then we were sure we had a penalty, then the man sent off, and we didn't get a penalty then, and you just think, God, is it going to be one of these nights? But look, you know what, that was great. Tim got them in at half time, he settled them, and they believed in themselves. And for James Brown to go up and score, you know, James has never scored for Drogheda United, and for him to get up and score what was an amazing goal. I mean, he flicked the ball over a guy's head like it was Ronaldinho. I don't know whether he meant it or not, he'll probably explain to himself that he did, but and a cracking finish with his left foot. And in the last few games, the four people who've never scored for us, certainly, you know, so Luke Heaney, James Brown, Connor Kane, and actually Derek Prendergast in the second spell of the club, they've all scored in the last few games. So it's just, what a buzz. But we were, God, I was nervous. And then David Odemuso, our wonderful 18-year-old keeper, right, saves the second penalty he saves this season. I mean, again, even then I thought, oh no, we're going to, you know, they're going to score for the penalty and then we're going to be bombarded and it's going to break to them. And, you know, anyway, we saw it home in the end, but God, the tension was, oh, was unbearable.
Yeah, and David has been one of the stories of the season for me because I was at the pre-season game when you played Dundalk and Oriel, and obviously you brought in Ross Tracy from Dundalk, bringing in a keeper from such a big club. You know, big things were expected of him. Yeah. And unfortunately, he got a horrific injury in that game against his former club. And David came on in that game and he was absolutely sensational. And I remember texting a couple of lads, you know, Longford fans, I was saying, Jesus, Drogheda have got a goalkeeper here. I reckon he could be the business this season. And he's been absolutely phenomenal. What a find he's been. He's really stepped up to the plate.
He has, and again, you know, we got him from Dundalk too, you know, and I'm sure there's a few of my good friends at Dundalk are probably thinking, God, how did we let him go? He's just awesome. He's, you know, as I say, you want to see the save made against UCD from a penalty earlier in the year as well, like sensational, but he really commands the box. He's got good hands. He's so young, you know, he's 6'3", but he's got a physical presence about him. You know, when you meet him, you go, wow, this guy's got something about him. And, you know, what a future he's got in the game. And, you know, what I really love as well for a kid like him, like next year, I hope he's going to be, you know, playing in the Premier Division in Ireland at the age of 19. And, you know, what a way to start your career for his family. I've chatted to his dad. It's just a lovely story. It really is. He came, he didn't even know whether he'd get a game. And poor old Luca Grazza, our other keeper, got a terrible shoulder injury as well early in the season. So Dave got the jersey and he never let go of it. And what a super lad. And it's a lovely story, that really is.
Yeah, and just going back to something else you mentioned as well, you touched on their players scoring that wouldn't be regular contributors to the team in terms of goals. But even when we've had Tim on over the last couple of seasons on the show, it's always been a question I've put to him, because there's always been a trend with this Drogheda team since he's arrived that the goals haven't come from one source. Obviously, you look at somebody like Chris Lyons, you look at Doyle as well, they probably get the fair share. But in seasons gone by, there's been a real spread of goals throughout the team. And again, that has continued on again this year. And in the end, you can probably say it's been one of the big contributing factors to Drogheda getting promoted.
It really has. And I think Tim made a point last night. I was listening to him. He said, I think we had the second best defensive record and the second best goal scored this season. And I think that was, you know, we needed to tighten up one of them last season. So last season, we scored more goals than anyone. This season, we've really tightened up at the back. Probably haven't scored as many. But you know, again, I think that's what we needed. We got the balance. Tim really thought about this when he was recruiting in the you know, at the end of last season. And, you know, bringing in, I should just mention Derek Prendergast. You know, Derek's won his second First Division title in 2 years after Wichelle's last year. His second spell at the club as well. And he's been sensational. The experience Dell brought to the team, fantastic. But Hugh Douglas, I really just have to mention Hughie, to be honest with you, Kieran. I don't know if you watched the game last night, he is immense. Now, you know, Hugh was let go by Bray. His hometown was tough for Hugh, and we got hold of him, and I remember meeting him, and, you know, just to, you know, when we signed him, and, you know, he really comes, he's a really nice man, a very honest, hardworking, the most professional guy. One of the lads tells me, even when he comes to training, his boots are immaculate. You know, he looks after himself. He was totally committed to the club, and he really bought into what we wanted to do as a club. And he sent me a lovely message last night saying, you know, he did it because he did it for the people in the club and the people in the town, and he's really taken it to his heart. And, you know, what a great guy, but what a rock at the back he has been. I you know, when you combine people like him with kids like James Clark came on last night and showed the maturity of a 28-year-old. Again, he's only 18 or 19. It's just lovely for these kids, you know, I people like James and local lads like Brandon Birmingham, a great find as well, picked up from Bowes. You know, our head of youth, and, you know, Morgan and Wayne Groves, our 19th manager, have a real eye for talent. You know, Brandon is something special. If you ever see the goal that he scored against Rovers 2 earlier in the year, it's the goal of the season, from, in my book, by a mile. So we have a great blend of youth and experience, but we'll have to see about next season there.
Yeah, I know you listen to the shows most weeks, and I was adamant all season long. From day one, I said Drogheda would win the league, because when I seen the likes of Douglas, when I seen the likes of Douglas and Prendergast arriving, I always said that is what you need in this division. I harp on about it so much on the show, people be sick of me listening or hearing me say it, but Longford in 2014 brought those characters into the club. They had their Stephen Rice, their Pat Flynn, so on and so on, and that's what Drogheda have done. Tim was able to keep that core of players there from the last 2 or 3 years, but he brought in just those players that just know what it's about in this division, and for me that's been the difference in the end. Now Bray did the same, they brought in the likes of Gary Shaw, they've got Paul Keegan as well, but for me it's no surprise to see it was those two teams at the top of the table.
Yeah, indeed, and you're right, you got to build from the back. You know, it's all very well scoring loads of goals and, you know, just lovely fast flowing football. You got to keep clean sheets, and the, you know, the boys at the back, the two full backs, brilliant as well, Connor and Jimmy. So yeah, the balance was right, and that, you know, that's good management, you know, Kieran. That's Kevin Doherty, that's Tim Clancy and their staff, just really thinking about the balance in the team and getting it right. And, you know, the best result this season for us, the best performance, the performance I look back on, is the game where we beat Bray down in Bray 1-0 there a few weeks ago. You know, that was a game where the game management in that game was just outstanding. We deserved to win. We just controlled the game. We only won 1-0, but it was a real turning point. You could feel the buzz in the team. I know we blew it against Athlone after that, but, you know, I'm just thrilled it's all come together at the end.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was, we all talked up that game. I remember on the podcast we were saying this was almost the title decider, Bray against Drogheda, and Drogheda won it. I said, that's it, job done. You went and lost to Athlone the week after that. Did you think you'd lost the title at that stage?
Oh, I was bereft at the end of that. I really was, you know. I mean, everybody was so flat. And you know what? And this is an important point, though. We deserved to lose that game. Let's be under no illusions. That wasn't one of those games where we said, oh, you know, we'd 15 chances. And we did not deserve to win that game. We were off our game. But Athlone were really, really good. And if you look at the number of points Athlone have picked up this season versus previous seasons,
yeah,
they're improving season on season. They have a lot of young kids in there who are getting better as the years go by. John Hayden and Michael O'Connor down there and the team and Adrian, they're really building from the bottom up there in that club. And I really, you know, Athlone are the oldest team in our league, you know, going back to, God, 1880 something. And, you know, I think they're going to come back. They've got the right facilities. They've got all the building blocks in place. They've got good people running the club. And that's the big thing for me in this whole season is, you know, clubs like that really do deserve a lot more respect from everybody in the media, not yourself because you're brilliant at this, but, you know, in the media and from the FAI and from other clubs in the league. You know, we're, when you're a League of Ireland club, you're a League of Ireland club, whether you're in the first division or the division,
yeah,
and we need that greater respect and equality there, because Athlone will come back, and you know, and so will many. You know, look at what Bill is doing. You know, you've had Bill on the program. I know Bill down in Cove is doing. Look what Niall's doing at Bray. Jim and Longford's a legend. You know, Galway, you know, great investment. John there is doing a fantastic job. And you can see what they're... Then we've Cork next season. You know, look, even, you know, the guys at Wexford again, again, look at Wexford last night, cheapers, you know? So, you know, the quality is there. And, you know, UCD, Cabo again, amazing, top four all season. I just think the first division deserves so much more respect and coverage. It really does. It's been It's been brilliant.
Yeah, 100%. I have to agree with you there. But looking ahead to the future, how on earth do you plan about Premier Division football next season when we have no idea of the landscape of not just football, but the world in general at this moment in time?
I honestly haven't a clue. I'm sitting here this morning trying to do my day job, and I keep in the back of my mind thinking, Jesus, what am I going to do for next season? Look, we've started budget planning, and you know, we have been doing it over the last week or two with all sorts of scenarios about being the first division, being the Premier. We know there's players we want to retain, obviously, from the existing squad, and that'll be Tim's job to look at that. There's probably some new faces Tim will want to bring in, I'm sure, for the Premier as well. But the one thing I do know is that we will not spend above what we can afford as a club. You know, I'm not going to, you know, we've done really hard work in the club over the last 2 years to get the debt down. We're not far off clearing the debt. We took on a 350 grand debt 2 years ago when we took over, me and the current board. We've got that right down now, and I'm not going to see it go back up again. So we will set a budget, we will be prudent with it, and we'll work within it. But, you know, again, even the things I'm looking at this morning, you know, we've better sponsorship opportunities in the Premier. We're talking to a major new sponsor at the moment who I hope we're going to pull in the next few weeks. You know, so I know there's certain revenues I can generate. Streaming, we don't know. Will I have, you know, God, you know yourself, if we had full crowds back, you know, if Dundalk or Rovers are coming to town, I know I've got probably 20 grand gate. You know, that's huge. Like, to be able to raise that sort of money without gates is incredibly difficult. But if I knew I was going to get 190,000 off the FAI stroke government, like all the Premier clubs got this season, at least I'd have a basis. I'm not even sure of that at the moment. So I'm going to sit down with Tim early next week, and I think what we're going to just do is say, look, there's going to have to be a little bit of faith put in both parties and each other, and we're just going to have to say, look, you know, I don't know at the moment what we're going to get next season. So, and he knows that everything we do get, we'll give to him and to the players. You know, we're not frittering money away and stuff that we don't need. So, you know, we just have to just watch and wait over the next few weeks. And, you know, we're just going to have to trust each other that we want to do the right thing here, but we're not going to put the club in jeopardy.
Yeah, well, I did want to ask you then, you've kind of hinted on it already. In the COVID situation at present, what is the benefit of playing in the Premier Division next season? You've mentioned there increased sponsorship opportunities, but obviously sponsors at the moment, it's a difficult situation because businesses are struggling out there as it is. Aside from that, is there a big benefit next season to playing in the Premier as opposed to the First Division if there's no fans allowed in? Is there going to be extra revenue streams for clubs there?
I think it's been great and all the rest of it, but really it's not generating much money for any of the clubs, you know, so that's not the answer. We're looking at all sorts of different models now, membership models, you know, online season ticket models, all these sort of things, you know, the Patreon models that you see some of the clubs going down. You know, I'm talking to, you know, a good relationship with people like Dan Lambert at Bose, just thinking about how they're even generating money going forward and stuff like that. So, you know, is there a much of a benefit? To be honest with you, no. And that's why, you know, I can say it now a few days later, like, I was pretty relaxed even about staying in the First Division. Of course, I always want to go up because we want to win. I want it for the town. I want it for the players. But, you know, there was a certain thing, I think, well, at least in the First Division, you know what you're, you know, you can manage yourself a little bit better. The Premier brings more uncertainty. But equally, I hope it will generate a bit of extra revenue. And, you know, we will need to get some support state or I'm from the FAI here, because it's not just Drogheda, it's thinking about the other clubs in the Premier, you know, whether it's Waterford, Sligo, you know, Sligo, who are so dependent on the supporter based model there to generate revenue for the club, you know, Pats, Shells, ourselves. You know, if you just take Rovers and to Dundalk out of the equation, and well, actually Bohemians, because they got the Matt Doherty money in, but they're well run anyway, Bose. But again, that they don't want to spend that money. You know, they'd rather have, Bohemians would rather be generating money from, you know, from fans and from gate receipts than spending the Matt Doherty money. You know, they want to spend that on infrastructure, I'm sure. So again, every club's in the same boat. So we'll all have to just come together and really work to try and get a better revenue model for everybody. But we'll look, Kieran, you know, we're not going to be the top players in the Premier, right? We're realistic here. I've been through that once back in the mid-2000s, and trust me, it's a recipe. Okay, it might bring short-term success. It's not the way you build a club. And if there's one thing I learned from all the years of my father and what we did in the club, and as I say, in the mid-2000s, we did buy success, but we under no illusions about it.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. And it brought some of the happiest days of my life. But, clubs have to be self-sustaining, right? There is no point. It's like I say, if somebody came in and said, Conor, I'm going to give you £500,000 a year for the club, I'd be tempted to say, great, well, let's put it into building facilities. You know, money is only good if it's recurring revenue. If you just get a lump sum and spend it on something, the next year it's not there. You have to invest it in infrastructure. So to me, it's about sustainability.
And you mentioned the stream in there, Watch LOI. We'll actually be discussing Watch LOI on the show tonight because it's had a couple of issues recently. But you guys have nailed streaming. I was watching your stream in your second last game there. It was absolutely fantastic on YouTube. Would you be in favour of the Premier Division clubs and even the First Division clubs next year doing their own thing, selling their own online passes, online season tickets, as opposed to maybe Watch LOI?
You know, I think that's an interesting one. I can really see the benefit in what you're suggesting, because our streaming has been run by Tony Breen and Joe McGurk and a few of the lads who are just been around the club for years. They're local people. They get up the gantry there. They've got a good position. And David Sheehan from LMFM does the commentary, and it's just worked brilliantly easy on YouTube. We've made a few grand out of it. Get on the GoFundMe, but in many ways, do we need what I'd call a big expensive infrastructure there? Maybe we don't. Maybe we can run it that way and just say, right, I'll pick an example. If we can't have supporters in, that we say, okay, it's €150 for a season ticket, but you get free streaming and various other things in there for next year. And if we can let you in, we let you in. Like, we're going to have to find some model like that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's better that I can control that rather than if you see centralizing it with Watch LOI, because again, if you think about what happened this season, the Watch LOI money from the Premier got spread across 19 clubs, but it's after costs and everything, it's not a huge amount of money. And I think there's a lot to be said for individual clubs being able to package things in their own way, but that's one for debate. But it's a good, interesting point.
And look, finally, you've been very good with your time, Conor. Before we let you go, you said you'll be sitting down with Tim Clancy next week. He's obviously a manager that's caught the eye since he came into the club. He's been absolutely fantastic for Drogheda, and I know he's had interest from elsewhere in recent seasons. What's his contract situation for next year? Is that something you still have to discuss?
Yeah, well, look, we signed a 2-year deal at the end of last season, I think, for himself and Kevin, and they've done what they said they'd do, and they got us promoted. Contracts with managers, I always say this about any manager, footballer, whoever it is, we want people at Drogheda United because they want to be at Drogheda United. And if Tim ever got approached by another club or ever wanted to leave, he will go with a glowing reference from me and with his head held high. But I don't want him to go. I want him to stay for the next season. I want him to show what he can do in the Premier Division. And look, he's destined for greater things, right? Someday Tim will be managing in Scotland or England. I have no doubt about it. And I'm thrilled that he's a Drogheda. And I'm thrilled that maybe in 10 years' time, when I see him managing Leeds or something like that, that we look back and go, do you remember the 3 or 4 years or 5 years he did at Drogheda and what he did for us as a club? And so, we'll treat him well. He's treated us well. We've good mutual respect. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do next season. And Kevin as well. Kev Doherty is assistant. Kev's just such a gentleman, and he's had a really tough year. He lost his father this year, and we had a good old chat last night about it. And I'm thrilled for him as well. He went through things at Shells when he was there and manager, and it was tough. And for him to come through this and win the league as well, it's just wonderful. All the coaching staff as well, they'd be brilliant. you know, it's a lovely moment. You know, it's nice when good things happen to good people. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I have to say he was one of the first people I thought of last night when I seen Drogheda were promoted. Obviously, he had a great spell as a player and as a coach at Longford Town, and he was always very, very good with his time to myself. So he was one of the first people I thought of and sent a message last night. But Conor, absolutely brilliant to speak to you once again from everyone here at BTS HQ. A big congratulations and best of luck in the Premier Division.
Thanks, Kieran. Keep well. Cheers.
For all your industrial equipment, compressed air, vacuum, automation, mechanical and engineering needs, check out flowmax.ie, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Yeah, great to hear from Conor. He's been a great supporter of the podcast this year, so thanks to Conor for coming on. Gary, we'll go straight into what was a dramatic final night in the First Division, and we'll start with that game. Cabin Teely 0, Drogheda 2. James Brown got the breakthrough goal after 58 minutes. Luke Heaney wrapped it up on 63, but Cabin Teely definitely made it difficult for Drogheda, as we heard from Conor there.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was quite an even first half by all accounts, but I think probably the changing point of the game where Drogheda took hold, certainly in the second half, was a sending off for Carlin there. So, look, you called Drogheda from the get-go. I wasn't in that boat, but look, they did well, and they dealt well with the long break and everything. So, look, congratulations to Drogheda, and hope to do well in the Premier.
Yeah, and look, one team's triumph is another team's misery, because Bray, they won on the night in Athlone, but they just came up short in the end. And, you know, with two games to go, they really were in the driving seat. But that defeat to Galway, that's undone them in the end.
Oh, yeah, that must be an awful sickener, especially with the goal coming so late in that game. So, look, they'll be disappointed for not winning out the league. You know, they had a great opportunity to get it over the line. But, look, They had a great season in the end, and they ran Drogheda very close, so they should be happy enough. And look, they have a good head of steam running into the playoffs now. Then they'll be facing Cabo on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think that's something we've said a lot, isn't it? If you're going into those playoffs, you need to be going in with momentum, and Bray certainly have that. I don't think anyone will fancy their chances against Bray. And I just have to say, on the game in Athlone last night, it was an absolutely phenomenal free kick from Ryan Graydon. He's another
beautiful
player,
wasn't it?
Absolutely stunning goal. I thought we'd seen the best goal of the night with Dylan Grimes down in Wexford, but no, certainly not. I think Ryan Graydon even outdone him with his free kick. It was a stunner, and he's a player that's caught the eye, and there's been loads of players like that for Bray this year. They've just come up short, and I know we were saying that result against Galway is what undone it for Bray, but at the same time, Drogheda slipped up against Athlone, so you'd probably be more sick, with all due respect to Athlone, if Drogheda had lost the title because of that result, whereas Bray, they lost to a very, very informed Galway side.
Oh yeah, like we've talked about John Caulfield and the work he has done over the past, since he came into Galway. So you know, there's no shame in losing to them from a Bray perspective. You know, we obviously saw what Galway done to us. So look, Bray will be still disappointed. It's still a bitter pill to swallow. You know, point short on the last game of the season, but we've talked about it before. You need the momentum running into the playoffs. You know, it's a three big games that need to be won for anyone out of the in the playoff positions. So I think Bray are certainly in the driving seat, not only with home advantage and coming second, that their form has been quite good. So they should be confident enough heading into the playoffs on Saturday.
Yeah, and big news regarding the playoffs. It's been confirmed that the team that obviously finished higher, so Bray will have home advantage when they take on, it looks like, Cabin Teely, but that's another story we'll have to touch on tonight with the whole Wexford appeal that's going on as we speak, I believe. But they'll have home advantage in that one. And then if, obviously, they'll have home advantage in the next one as well against either UCD or Longford. So they have two home games now, Drogheda. But then crucially, that game against the Premier side, apparently, according to some reports online over the weekend, is going to be a neutral venue. That takes it away from Harps a little bit, doesn't it? Because Ballybuffet, as we know, is not a nice place to go. So take that to a neutral venue. I think the First Division team has a really good chance this year.
Well, it certainly evens the playing field. I think, you know, it's not, no one wanted to go up the Harps at any time of the season, really, but not when you're fighting for your Premier Division place for both teams. So Ballybuffet isn't a destination I want to be going anytime, but certainly not to try and beat them to get into the Premier Division. I think it'll be interesting to see where the game is going to be played. You know, the talk about a neutral venue is great, but where is that actually going to be? I know there was talk about Tala and stuff like that, but I just haven't heard enough about it yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know it's a couple of weeks away, and a lot of teams have a lot of work to do before even considering that. So I'll be putting that in the back burner anyway.
Yeah, and look, final point on Bray for now. As we said, they're going to be bitterly disappointed they missed out on the title. But again, where they were last year, they totally missed out on the playoffs. This year, they're within a point of the title. It's been a huge progression from them. And as we said, they've got every chance in the playoffs now. So I don't think they should be too hard on themselves. They'll probably take today to you know, think about what could have been. But I think tomorrow, back on the training pitch and full steam ahead for the playoffs. Look, we've already touched on John Caulfield. And unfortunately for them, they came up just short last night. 2-2 draw against UCD. But look, Caulfield, he's come out today and he said they're looking to carry on the momentum from the end of this season into the start of next year, because I think that was 8 wins in his 10 league games in charge. It was a really phenomenal end to the season for Galway.
Yeah, it really was. Like, they did very well at the start. You know, the changes he made after arriving were huge. He was very... I wouldn't say lucky, but you know, you can see the work that he has done to bring them back from, you know, mid-table mediocrity, as the saying goes.
Oh yeah, they were out of it when he arrived. They were totally out of the picture.
Yeah, they weren't even a consideration. So, to get them into a position where they even had a chance of getting into the playoffs from where he took them on from was really great work. So you have to hand it to him that he's done a phenomenal job. And look, there's a lot of players there that he could hold on to, and they'd be pushing into the playoffs and for a shout at the title next season. But look, that's a long way away yet. At the same time, a lot can happen in the off season, so it'll be interesting to see how well he does. I know we talked there on Monday about players that John Coughlin can attract. So it could be a brand new Galway team next season.
Yeah, and again, we've mentioned it already, this appeal that's going on. That late goal from Shane Duggan, I seen somebody tweeted this last night, I can't remember who it was to give them credit, but that late goal from Duggan gave Galway a point, and if the appeal goes a certain way, I believe Galway could actually still end up in a playoff position, so there's still a little bit to rumble on there. It's crazy, we've played 18 games and we still don't really know who's in the playoffs, even if the table tells us otherwise. But just on UCD, again, their side, nobody, I know it'll be Longford taking them on Saturday, but I don't think Longford will go up there with any great confidence, because UCD have had a really good season and they're scoring goals for fun. Evan Weir with a couple last night.
Yeah, look, at the Longford game last night, we were looking at hoping that we'd at least have home advantage for this game. But now Longford have to travel to the bowl. I know Longford's away form has been much better than their home form, but at the same time, UCD isn't a great prospect to be facing into at the minute. They're absolutely banging in goals, and Whelan and Mahdi are just not a pair of boys I want to be seeing. So, look, they've had a decent season. I had them written off earlier on in the year, but they picked up some good results, and they did well, and they really battered some teams. Like, yeah, they put plenty of goals by Cabo,
Wexford as well,
and Wexford and Shamrock Rovers too, which a lot of other teams didn't do.
Yeah,
you know, Longford scored 4 against Athlone, but it wasn't really that commanding of a performance by Longford. But whereas UCD were just battering them.
Yeah.
So look, it'll be an interesting game on Saturday. But UCD probably will be the more confident going into the game. But they've only lost 1 in the last 5, so and they were winning the game last night in Galway. Only for a last-minute screamer from Duggan.
Screamer, so again, yeah. Duggan's having a bit of a goal of the season competition amongst himself. But
he is, yeah.
UCD definitely fit that bracket of arriving in form into the playoffs. So I'm from a Longford point of view, I'm not confident at all ahead of that game on Saturday. You mentioned Shamrock Rovers too, that some teams struggled to break them down this year. And unfortunately for Cove, that was the story last night. They missed out on the playoffs. Just a goal here would have done it. They would have got into the picture. But unfortunately, it's not to be for Cove. But they performed quite admirably this year.
Yeah, they have. You know, they really came into a lot of form there a few weeks ago to put themselves back into the picture. So they'll be disappointed that, you know, an odd goal against, you know, the Shamrock Rovers B team, so to speak, would have put them into the playoff position. So that must be really disappointing after coming into it late. You know, they needed the 6 points. They got three against Longford a couple of weeks ago. And they needed another three against Shamrock Rovers too. But look, they'll be disappointed. But at the same time, they've something to build on for next season. You know, there's 7 teams there, all knocking around the same, bar probably Drotton and Bray. But you know, there's between UCD in third and Cove in seventh, there was 3 points in it, so they're not that far away. So a bit of work on the off season could see them knocking on the door next year.
Yeah, and just on Shamrock Rovers too, I think a very, very decent season for them as well. They finish above Athlone Town and Wexford. Now, the very first thing we said at the start of the season when we knew Rovers 2 was coming into the league, we said for Athlone and Wexford, who we expected to be down towards the bottom again, they will not have wanted to finish below Shamrock Rovers 2, because with all due respect, that is a reserve side. It's full of very, very young players. Some very talented young players, don't get me wrong. But for Athlone and Wexford, who've been in this division for so long, to finish below a team coming into the league for their very first season, they've got to be disappointed with that. Now, look, I know Wexford is a different situation because they had their points deduction. And Athlone have actually picked up pretty much as many points in 18 games as they did in 27 last year. So there's been signs of progression from both teams there, Athlone and Wexford. Mm-hmm. But they've still finished below a team who are having their very first League of Ireland experience. As I said, very, very young players. So from a Shamrock Rovers point of view, not a bad start to life in the League of Ireland First Division.
No, certainly not. I know it's the second go of a Shamrock Rovers second team in it.
It's a much better.
It really is. Yeah. It's not the same kettle of fish as it was a few years ago. So
I think the last time, you kind of remember, they brought in players like Daniel Purdy, who had been along for, they were kind of picking players from other squads. It seems now that it's quite obvious that this Rovers 2 team is all about channeling the very best of that academy into competitive football and getting players into the first team through that. Whereas the last version was more little picking players from here and there and hoping one might develop into the first team. But they've clearly got a much better system now with Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, there seems to be far more of a plan in place about how they're going to develop these players directly from their academy rather than gathering up probably fringe players from different parts of the league that weren't getting great game time or something like that. The Shamrock Rovers 2 setup has been, I suppose you could call it a success in comparison to what we thought that they would end up doing this year. They finished probably about where they were aiming for, was to finish above Athlone and Wexford. So fair play to them for that. They didn't concede that many.
No, competitive in every game, Gary.
Yeah, that was what I was about to say. They didn't concede that many goals. You know, the Longford beat them in the first game of the season, which was fine. You know, first game, you wouldn't really pass too much remarks on that. But they picked up some good results, and they weren't really, I'd say the only beating that they really took was against UCD. So, you know, there wasn't any hammerings really dished out to them that badly. So there's a lot of positives to take from it, so they should be happy enough. And we don't know what's going to happen next year. They might be in it next year, so be interesting to see what way they handle it and how Shamrock Rovers as a club put players into that setup. So, but look, no, they should be happy enough, and so definitely something to build on for next year and developing their own team members.
Yeah, I definitely think they'll be there next year, Rovers too. But the issue is, if another team wants to come into the division, how do you work with 11 teams? I know we had a situation in the league before where there was an odd number quite a good few years ago, and it was obviously bye weeks then for teams, which is not what you want in a division, especially as a supporter. You want your team playing every week. But look, we'll leave that on the back burner tonight because we've got an awful lot to get through. Final First Division review for now before we hear from Drogheda boss Tim Clancy, and then we'll be into the Premier Division reviews. Wexford 2, Longford 1. Longford took the lead through a phenomenal free kick from Dylan Grimes, who had a very, very good first half last night. He was absolutely unplayable at times in the first half. But not for the first time this season. Ex-Longford Town players come back to haunt the red and black. Carl Fitzsimons, who was a youngster at the Town, scored after 53. Jack Doherty, who was with the Town earlier on this season, he scored the second on 65 minutes. And Wexford held on for a 2-1 win despite some late Longford pressure. But Gary, we were one of the lucky ones to be at the game last night. And, you know, we were obviously relaying information to the lads back home about the performance. And some of the lads were saying, you know, we hit the post, I think, three times in the second half. We were missing five first-team players. Is that good enough against a team, Wexford, bottom of the league? You can't really be having hard luck stories in a game like that, where Longford needed a point to secure the playoffs. Now, because of results elsewhere, they snuck in by the skin of their teeth. But had Longford ended up outside of the playoff places last night, they would have nobody to blame but themselves.
Completely. I think you hit the nail on the head there, the whole hard luck story. Really doesn't wash when it's in the last game of the season. You need some form of a point or three.
And you've had they've had two opportunities now, because they had the game last week at home to Cove, then away to Wexford. A point from either of the two games was all they needed, and they couldn't do it. Again, it goes back to not having the bottle in the crunch games, and that's why you couldn't really go into the playoffs now with any real confidence.
Completely. Ethan said it on Monday. Longford Town don't seem to be able to do it in the crunch game. We had two games to get a single point, and no return at all from them two games. Coming up to the last couple of games of the season, look, it's just not on. I thought last night from watching the game, and you know, we had a good position from where we were watching it. I thought there was a lot of good performances on the pitch. I thought Aaron McNally was quite good. Adam Evans was good. And Rob Manley, the hardest worker in the league, by my estimation. But I didn't see enough from the bench, any direction or change that was made. I know there was a lot of chances and we hit the post a few times. And yes, we were missing players. But that's what happens across the season. You're going to be missing players at different times throughout the year. So you need to handle that properly. And it doesn't look like Longford have really done that. So now we're looking at the playoffs. Now UCD probably should have won that game only for Duggan's goal last night. So they would have been on three on the bounce, and Longford Town were on the receiving end of two beatings, one from the bottom team in the league. So it's going to be a very tough challenge for Longford on Saturday, but very disappointing into the season for Longford Town, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and it just has kind of deja vu feel about it, because as Town fans, we've seen this before, Longford falling into the playoffs towards the end of the season. It happened in 2013 when we bottled the league, when we had a 12-point lead over Athlone, bottled that, fell into the playoffs, had to go to Athlone on the final day of the season and win to get into the playoffs, went behind early on, came back, and we didn't get through the playoffs that year, although we did get to the final of the playoffs and lost to Bray. But again, a crunch game situation let us down. Then the season before that, 2012, fell into the playoffs. And Waterford absolutely took us apart, Shawnee McGuire. And then obviously the playoffs last year, we all know how that ended. So you cannot fall into the playoffs and have any real hopes of going up. But I suppose we're in there now. If you're in there, you have a chance. It is a bit of a lottery, the playoffs, but Longford will have to show an awful lot more than they have in the last two games, and they'll have to learn how to defend set pieces as well. Conceding another two set pieces last night, you think when you concede five set pieces in one game you'd learn your lesson. They conceded five set pieces in the 6-2 defeat against Galway, and they're still leaking goals from dead ball situations.
Yeah, it's scandalous, really. I don't really know. I couldn't believe my eyes watching it yet again. Another set piece, another cross. We said that Jack Doherty would probably be taking that free kick, except he ends up scoring the header to win the game for them. So, look, it was quite frustrating to watch. But it's really disappointing that, you know, even look back as far as Bray, two nearly identical headers from Gary Shaw.
Yeah.
He then come in the Longford Town and the Bray Longford game in the Carlisle grounds. Gary Shaw scores another header from a corner, and you're literally, you know, it's just a constant head and hands job. And then last game of the season, a point is required and you just concede two set pieces. It's just not on. So look, Longford have a very short turnaround time to get it together for Saturday. So the one thing in my head is that it's a one game. You know, it's 90 minutes or extra time and penalties. So that could be a saving grace that you're not trying to be relaxed or whatever because you have a second leg. So yeah. Both teams would be going for it. And on the personal point of view, I hope Longford will set out their stall early and go hammer and tongs at it.
Yeah, enough on Longford for tonight. Let's hear from the Drogheda manager, Tim Clancy, now on Between the Stripes, LOI podcast.
Now, we're keeping the Drogheda United theme going on tonight, Sean. I'm delighted to be joined by Drogheda boss Tim Clancy, the new First Division champions for 2020. Tim, a big congratulations.
Thanks, Kieran. Cheers, well.
Yeah, and look, it wasn't easy last night at all by any means. Cabinteely, well organised as they usually are, but you eventually broke them down with a goal from James Brown, and you wrapped it up then a little bit later on. So, delighted just to get over the line in the end, I suppose.
Yeah, listen, we were obviously thrilled just to get come out on top in the game and get us that promotion into the Premier League. We started knocking on the door. The first year I was here 2 years ago, we got beaten in the semi-final of the playoffs by Finn Harps, and then the heartache of getting to the second leg, second half of extra time in the second leg of the playoffs to concede the goal that knocked us out of that last year was a hard one to take. But we were really pleased then this season. We felt we'd strengthened in certain areas, and we kept the core of the team, the bulk of the young players that we had, and we just scraped over the line in the end, but we're delighted.
Yeah, we're actually going to be speaking to James in the next couple of minutes, but I was just on the Drogheda website and I was looking at the player profiles, and very interestingly it has quotes from players from before this season started. And if you look at James Brown's quote on the website, he talks about the hurt of last season's playoff defeat and how they were going to use that this season. Well, my God, you've gone and done that, haven't you?
Yeah, listen, from Jimmy, from his own personal perspective, I think Jimmy's grown massively this season, and it's the type of, I think that's the way the league is going now. If you look at the profile of all the squad, they're lads like James who look after themselves, and even though we're in a part-time setup, James is a personal trainer, so he looks after what he eats and how much he sleeps and how hard he trains, and you can certainly see the improvements in his play in the last two seasons, and we're hoping again he'll continue to improve next year. And he's another young player that is going to now get the chance to showcase his abilities and his game in top level in this country, and that's really pleasing.
Yeah, and you mentioned the recruitment there. How important is it to bring the right characters into the football club? Aside from trying to bring in the very best players you can, do you look at the qualities and the personal attributes of a player as much as you look at their technical abilities?
I think you have to. Every team in the League of Ireland will be limited in regards to their finances and whatnot, so you can't really waste the wage, and certainly the way we are as well, that you have to recruit players that first and foremost are good people and good lads to be around the place and good lads to work with, and probably secondly then you look at can they cover a few positions for you if you're struggling, and then obviously with a lot of experience at the back with Huey Douglas and Dell, and we brought in Jack Chute as well, and they were three very good signings for us at the back. But it is, as you said there, if you look at the players and the group of players we have there, there are a lot of young lads, and they're all lads that I don't want to sound disrespectful, but they probably want to play at the highest level they possibly can and try to get the benefit of that. Because they're the best and they eat the right things and they live the right way and they apply themselves the best, and thankfully there was enough to see them get over the line.
Yeah, and look, when we've spoken on this show in the past couple of seasons, one trend we always identified about Drogheda, about your Drogheda teams, is the fact that goals were coming from all over the park. Obviously, you have your top men there in the likes of Lyons and Doyle, but there was players always chipping in from midfield and even from the back, and that's continued again this season. Do you think that's been probably the defining factor in you winning the league this year?
Yeah, listen, as you said there, it was we've had goals from all over the place in the last three seasons, and funnily enough, then you're there getting his first goal of the season against Wexford on Saturday, and then obviously the Mark Doyle gets the second one, who scored, he was 13 goals in 18 league games from left wing, is phenomenal. And then you had Jimmy Brown and you had Luke Heaney getting the first goals of the season as well. So I think he's popped up a few goals. I think even Conor Kane scored after 106 games for the club against Galway. So there is goals from all over the park. Thinking now, at the top of my head, I think Mark Hughes probably for one of the very few players in the squad who did score this season. So no, listen, it's very pleasing. And again, when you have obviously goal threats from all different areas of the pitch, it's certainly going to help you. But this season, what we improved on, I think, massively, was we had the second best defensive record in the league as well.
Yeah.
Which is probably somewhere where we let ourselves down the last couple of seasons, and that helps when you have the organisation, Adele and Yuri and Jack coming in. That added to that.
Yeah, and as I said, we just spoke to Connor. He said he's going to sit down with yourself early next week and work out plans for next year. But from a managerial point of view, have you already maybe identified a couple of players that if you did get over the line, you might like to try and have a word with?
Again, if it all comes down to finances and what budget we're going to have for next year. So I can't really speak to anyone. There's obviously players you'd like to get into the club and ones I probably think might fit us and it'll fit them as well, and it'd be good for both of us. But until I actually find out what the budget is and what we have to spend and what players we can keep and whatnot, I won't be able to go after anyone just yet. So I'd sit down myself, Kev, and probably Connor and Dermot McKenna, whoever else from the club, will sit down and have a chat about next season and listen how the club's been run the last two seasons under Connor. We're running and we're sort of looking after ourselves. We're not waiting on money coming from one person, and the club has been sufficient in regards to the finances. We have to continue that, and I understand that myself, but I'll be hoping that I can get a little bit more out of the chairman next year and give us a chance to stay up in the Premier Division.
And just before you go, Tim, obviously there was only a very small group of people that were able to be there last night, unfortunately. That was the downside to the whole thing, but To the fans of Drogheda United listening in this evening, what's your message to them after you lifted the title last night?
Listen, well, it's obviously disappointing that we couldn't have had the big moment in front of the fans. I think when you've seen us last season, when Shells brought a huge crowd up to United Park, and we had a couple of thousand at the game as well, and the atmosphere and the smoke bombs and everything else, and it was an unbelievable occasion, and the euphoria for Shelburne, the fans could celebrate in the pitch, and we missed out on that. But sure, listen, at the end of the day, we got the main goal was to get promoted, and hopefully by the start of next season the fans will be able to come back in, and they'll have some big games next year with the top teams in the country like Shamrock Rovers, and obviously the Louth Derby to look forward to again.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, Tim. Once again, big congratulations, thanks for speaking to us.
No problem, Kieran, thanks.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by BarwinRacing.com. Check out our website for weekly League of Ireland previews, enhanced offers and double the odds first goal score matches, among other incentives, with a €30 free bet available to new customers. T's and C's apply. Barwon Racing, nobody does League of Ireland better.
Yeah, it really was a phenomenal end to the First Division campaign and a phenomenal season overall, Gary. And I know we had a couple of tweets last night from people, journalists and fans of the First Division saying that we certainly gave it great coverage throughout the year. So great to hear that. I'm glad you're all enjoying our First Division coverage. But let's move on and talk about the top tier now, Premier Division review. And it was a dramatic weekend. Bowes nil, Finn Harps 2, a double from Mark Russell. And this was the game that confirmed Shamrock Rovers as the champions for 2020.
Yeah, it was. Fair play to Harps. I really wasn't expecting this result from them.
Oh.
They really pulled it out of the fire when they needed to. Great goal by Russell on the first one. Really improvised well and got the flick on that he needed to put them up.
They've scored so many from long throws though this season, haven't they?
They really have, but you know, it's probably what you'd expect from Harps. You know, long balls in, throwing it in, pegging it in, you know, the usual stuff. But look, they did what they needed to do. They needed that result. It wasn't one that I had them down for at all, considering the differences in table position. I just thought Bulls were doing well as well. So, look, fair play at the Harps. I must point out, though, McGinley and goals for Harps. What a performance he had.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Trojan work he did. So fair play to him, really. Kept them ahead. I must say, that save in the second half, I think it was from Evan Ferguson, to tip it onto the post was just brilliant. So, bull of us for him. He really did well for him.
Yeah, he's caught the eye this season, I have to say. But it wasn't just significant in terms of the title, that result. Obviously, it meant that about a few hours later, Cork heading up to Sligo, Cork had to get something to survive in the Premier, and they didn't. They were officially relegated at the weekend. Sligo, 2-1 winners, but that only tells half the tale, Gary. Kit Elliott missed a penalty after just 8 minutes for Cork. That kind of sums up their season, really. And then an awful defensive mistake, a route one ball from the goalkeeper. Junior latches in and taps home to give Sligo a 1-0 lead. Dylan McGlade equalised on 64, and then you were thinking Cork are still going to cling in and keep the fight alive. But to rub salt into the wounds for them, a former Cork player scores a penalty on 74 minutes after Cork had missed that early one. It was Ronan Coughlin. 2-1 to Sligo, and Cork City unbelievably relegated. Well, I say unbelievably, but I think the writing was on the walls since even before a ball was kicked this season.
I'd say the writing was on the wall probably last Christmas, if you want to go back that far. But look, I watched that game. It wasn't a great penalty. I think poor old Elliott, he slipped when he was kicking it, which didn't help him. But it was a rubbish penalty anyway.
I just thought it lacked conviction. He lacked confidence, I think, stepping up to it.
Really, really did. Like the Sligo keeper nearly dived past it. It just was a nothing penalty. It was well cleared then. But then what? 3 or 4 minutes later, a ball from a keeper kick out or an offside, I think it was, straight in. Junior then with the tap in and. No interest from Boston and the defender, but total chaos from a long ball in from Sligo, and then just Junior nips in, knocks it by him and rolls in. Like, it's really sums up Cork's defensive problems that they've had this year. But
yeah, I said that at the time. If you're conceding goals like that, you have absolutely no right to stay in the Premier Division.
Oh yeah, you may throw your hat at it. Exactly, it's rubbish. But I think Colin Healy said it after, that if you're defending like that,
I actually really admired that interview from Colin Healy. I actually really liked it. It was no nonsense, no excuses, just simply weren't good enough this year. We were kind of speaking about Longford there a couple of months ago about the set pieces. You'd nearly love to see Dara just come out and say, you know, this can't continue, like conceding goals from set pieces, it's not good enough. But I thought that was good from Colin Healy. I suppose it'd be just very interesting to see what the managerial setup will be at Cork next year. But I suppose that's the least of their worries now. As we talk here, that meeting's taking place tonight to decide on the future of the club. So probably by the time we publish this podcast will probably be redundant. But that's the way football is. It's a constant turn and wheel. And Cork, there's an awful lot of spin in the wheel going on. A lot to be decided over the next couple of days, weeks.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be an interesting time for them. I'm not really sure how I feel. Like, look, Cork isn't high on my list of thoughts at all. But you know, the Forest group and the possible selling to I think it's Grove Moore, Ciarán, is it?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks. I think I read today that there's talk of a completely amateur setup next year as well. So. And then on the flip side of that, next, you know, a few pound comes in and they're walking the league and they're in the Premier Division winning a couple of years. So
it's probably not right for me to ask you this, but because it's very much up to the Cork fans to decide the future of their own club. But let's just take, for example, that this was Longford Town, and Longford Town was a fan-owned club, not the way it is at the moment. Obviously, there's a couple of benefactors at Longford who keep the show on the road, and fair play to them for that. But let's just say there was a group of 300 Longford Town fans owned, operated, ran Longford Town. They were in this situation where it was clear that the model at the moment wasn't sustainable, and Longford either had to go, say we're a full-time club at the time, big paying out, big wages, blah, 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 either had to go semi-pro or pretty much all amateur, but the club will remain in the hands of the fans. Maybe you take a couple of years in the first division and you rebuild, or you sell it to someone who's going to throw money at it. And you said maybe walk the league in 1 year. What way would you be leaning in that argument?
Well, I to be honest with you, I don't have much of an experience. I don't have no experience of a fan-owned model. I know it was hailed as the ultimate solution to owning football clubs and this type of boom and bust carry-on that was going on, particularly in the League of Ireland. But that's what happened to Cork of the 08-09 time. And now they're in a similar position again with a fan-owned model. So what if you... I'm not really sure if I'd rather the same boys keeping it running at the top with an amateur setup or semi-pro setup in the first division with an idea to rebuild over a couple of years to get back into the Premier. They've done that already. They had that go. Mm. So why would you keep the same staff there running the show?
I think what Kevin Galvin mentioned on the show last week, he thinks the idea and the ideal for us is perfect, but just that it's lost its way. So maybe with a couple of changes on the board, etc., maybe look at a big review of what's gone wrong with the last couple of years, for us can still be a success story. I would personally be leaning of keeping the way in the hands of the fans. And Kevin explained last week why he'd have reservations about selling it to an outsider from England. But look, as I said, it's up to the Cork fans to decide their own fate.
Yeah, no, I'd have the same reservations exactly. But, you know, if the idea of a fan-owned model is to keep better checks on it, which I would say is a big bonus of that, that there's more input or there's more of a group mentality to it, then that's brilliant. But Cork are still in this mess. Do you know what really happened that all of this has led them, you know, a double in 2017 to this situation now? So it'd be interesting to see how they vote. I know there's a good camp within the group to sell to Grove Moore, so it'll be interesting to see what happens later on tonight, if we hear tonight, of course.
Yeah, but anyway, bottom line for now is Cork City relegated to the first division. We'll move on. Derry City 2, Shelburne 0. I watched this one live on Watch LOI, and we'll have a chat about Watch LOI as well and some of the issues it's ran into in recent weeks. But Joe Thompson got the opening goal, Walter Figuera on the score sheet. I thought he was probably the difference in this game for me, Gary. I looked at Derry and I looked at Shells. There wasn't an awful lot between them, but when I look at that Shells team, I look at their midfield, and a lot of it is kind of samey, that the players are all very solid midfielders, but I don't see that creative spark. Whereas if you look at Derry, they've got Walter Figuera. Now, I know he played up front as the number 9 in this one, but really he's a number 10, or he can come in off the wing, but he has a free role in that team. He creates things. Whereas I look at Shells and I don't really see that player that can just pick it up and unlock the defence, like a Keith Ward at Bowes, or like a Patrick McElhenney at Dundalk, or obviously a Jack Burns in a different category altogether. But I just don't see that player in the Shells midfield. And I think they've got the bones of a very, very good outfit there for next year, but I think they need to find that little bit of magic dust.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably the best way to describe Shells. There's a lot of samey. I don't know, you'd probably call it hard fellas go in and root out a few problems in the midfield, but they're not going to go and next, you know, launch a few balls up to kill Duff there, who's going to bury in a load of goals across the season. I think Kilduff has, what, 3 goals this season?
Yeah, just 3 goals, right? Isn't it? Yeah, and I think Aaron Dobbs has maybe got 1, maybe 2. So it's a poor return from their strikers.
It certainly is. Like, look, it's a bigger surprise for Kieran Kilduff than Dobbs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would have expected a lot more from Kieran Kilduff. We were quite surprised.
Does that go back to service, though? Again, does that go back to...
Yeah.
There's no one just to thread that clever little ball through to him the way he had those players at Dundalk.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely all behind him. If he doesn't get any of the ball that he needs to any great extent, he's not going to have a hope. Like, well, he's not going to pick the ball off the keeper and run the pitch himself. He's 32 years of age at this stage, so fair play to him for you know, keeping on going with Shells. But I think it was a very good point that you made about the samey. There's a lot of fellas in there, and I think couple of additions that would just be, as you said, like Keith Ward would have a bit more creativeness to them, and maybe could be in a more advanced role for Shelburne rather than in a nearly defensive midfield position. Could take the ball from the defence and unlock an opposition with, like, Kilduff has the skill and has the prowess to be able to score some of these goals. So I think it's an indication, like Kilduff's return of goals this season is an indication more of the creation being made from the defence and midfield behind them.
Just on Derry as well, obviously they were supposed to play Shamrock Rovers tonight. That game is off. We wait and see what happens with that. It looks like Rovers are probably going to be awarded the win under the new rules regarding COVID postponements. But I can already hear the Rovers man saying, why was there not a Shamrock Rovers special for us winning the league? We had a number of Rovers affiliate guests lined up for tonight's show, but obviously then we thought the game was on, so it wasn't going to suit. So look, we'll hear from some Shamrock Rovers fans and people connected with the club over the next few weeks on the show, I'm pretty sure of that. But let's move on to Waterford against Dundalk. A 1-0 win for Waterford. Were you surprised by this result, or is the fact that Dundalk are having to rotate their 11 so much between league and Europe, is it no surprise that they're running into a little bit of inconsistency now domestically?
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, I suppose Europe is going to be the main interest for Dundalk for the rest of the season. To be fair, it was a crunch game. Waterford needed to keep the pressure on to get into the European spots, and they did exactly what they needed to do. But it's definitely probably a case of Dundalk maybe taking their eyes off the ball a little bit. But that's what happens when you're the, you know, reigning champions and you're in Europe. You're gonna have to play a lot of games, and that's just the way it is. If you don't want the success and the downsides that come with that success, then you can't really complain, I don't think. But look, that's what's going to happen. And they still brought on a lot of their big players, I think. After the goal, they brought on a few of the big names, let's say, to try and pull the game out of the fire. But Waterford held on for a much needed 3 points, keep themselves within the European run.
Yeah, as you said, it just gives them a little glimmer of hope. Waterford, they're in fourth, they're on 24 points. Dundalk third on 25, but Waterford have played a game more. They've just got one game left to play. Dundalk have two left to play, but they haven't got easy fixtures. They play St. Pat's next. So, obviously, as you said, it's all about Europe at the moment, but they really can't take their eyes off that St. Pat's fixture, because it's no good being in the Europa League group stages this year and not being in Europe at all next year, as we've already touched on for financial reasons. So, I think they need to try and get that blend right now, Dundalk, between Europa League and trying to be competitive in that.
And so you're counting Dundalk out of winning the Europa League, are you?
Just for now. We'll see after the Arsenal game. I'm hoping I might pop up with a late winner.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, from a Waterford point of view, great result for them. And I didn't think they actually had to play that well, Gary, to pick up the 1-0 win. It was a goal from John Martin. I thought Dundalk were quite poor overall, and it's just led me to the question on Dundalk for next season. They have an awful lot of players out of contract, 18 players out of contract. Some of the players have been there for all the success. Maybe they're getting on in years. But in saying that, I think their best player since Filippo's come in has been Brian Gartland at the back. I think Gary Rogers has been very good again this year. But it just leads to the question, who is going to do the recruiting next year for Dundalk? Because it looks like Filippo, indications from the chairman over the last couple of weeks at Dundalk, that he is going to stay on next season and be awarded a contract. But he has absolutely no knowledge, really, of the League of Ireland, of the player pool. Is he going to bring players in from outside? We've seen before that doesn't always work in this league. There's an awful lot of questions to be answered about Dundalk next season if they want to get their title back.
Yeah, there is. Like, Shamrock Rovers are going to be no slouches next year, so Dundalk are going to have to step it up. And by the Europa League, they're going to have a good few pounds to be able to do so. So it'll be interesting to see where Filippo goes. Now, he has Shane Keegan there, who has a lot of experience in the league. He's been around both Premier and First Division for a good few years. So I think Shane Keegan will probably be a key in that position and gathering up a few gems from around
I guess my main question, let's stop dancing around here. Let's get to the point of the matter. If it was your decision, or if you're a Dundalk fan, would you want to see Filippo stay there next season, or would you look to bring in somebody maybe that's a bit more experienced in this league? Because at the moment, if you go on Dundalk social channels, an awful lot of Dundalk fans are saying he is no, like, it's been great what he done, but they got the luck of the draw. Now, I don't agree with that. They still have to go out and win those games. But there's an awful lot of Dundalk fans that feel he shouldn't be the man leading the charge next season.
I'm not really sure that's fair. Like, you know, he at the end of the day, he was at the helm when they got into the Europa League group stage. Now, they were blessed. There's no doubt about it. They were blessed.
Yeah.
In the drawings to get into the group stages. But at the same time, they still did what they needed to do. They got across the line, and fair play to them for that. But to be honest with you, he hasn't done anything wrong, in my opinion, to warrant not getting a contract. If he does well in the remaining games in the league, because he's not going to catch Bowes, but they'll get into Europe for next year. If he gathers up maybe a couple of points in the Europa League, that's great success. So why would he not get a contract for next year? I can't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah.
There is, of course, the question of the players that need to be signed for next year. But it's going to be hard to say that he doesn't deserve a shot for a full season. That.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just trying to get both sides of the argument out there. I haven't really made my mind up as such myself. We could probably do a Dundalk special on this, to be honest. There's an awful lot of different elements there, but we'll leave that there for now. What we're going to do before we move on to talk about the previews for the weekend, it's a very busy weekend because you've got league action tonight, Harps against St. Pat's, and then you're into the FAI Cup weekend and the playoffs as well. So we're going to talk about all of that, and we'll speak Arsenal Dundalk before we go as well. But first, we're going to bring you our final interview of the night. We're going to hear from one of the goal scorers last night, one of the heroes for Drogheda United. Jimmy Brown joins us on Between the Stripes, LOI podcast.
Now we're going to speak to the man who got the opening goal last night for Drogheda United as they clinched the first division title. James Brown, you will have seen on the score sheet, but of course everyone in Drogheda goes by Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome to the show, and first of all, a massive congratulations.
Cheers, Aaron. Thanks for having me. Delighted. You know, big win. Long time coming, last 2 years, you know, losing playoffs and stuff like that, but delighted, you know, still buzzing this morning, you know.
Yeah, funny enough, I was just speaking to Tim there, and we were speaking about the hurt of the playoffs last year, and I was just on the Drogheda website, and I was looking at the player profiles. It has quotes ahead of this season, and your quote mentions the hurt of last year's playoffs and how you were going to use that this year to propel yourselves to the next level. You've achieved that, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I think that was a big step to stone for us. You know, I felt like last year, like I felt there was a bit more pressure last year, even though there probably should have been this year. But I think it helped us. You know, we felt kind of confident. There was a bit of a buzz in the dressing room before the game last night, whereas last year was a bit edgy and stuff. So, you know, I think we learned from that and we brought it into this year. You know, massive game last night and we performed.
Yeah, did the fact that there was no fans in the ground maybe help towards the end of the season as opposed to being a hindrance? Obviously, there would have been an absolutely amazing turnout from Drogheda fans last night, but maybe the pressure was slightly off?
It helped in some ways and didn't in others. You know, I think, you know, that long game maybe we could have done with fans, you know. I think we were a bit slow. And I think, you know, we kind of went out there, you know, taking it for granted, like, you know. But then on the other sense, yeah, they can get on your back when things don't go well as well. So, you know, they can and can't. So you'd rather them there, but you know, last night it was a bit tough one to take, the fact that they weren't there. But we still enjoyed the celebrations anyway.
What was the scene in the dressing room after that Athlone game? Was it complete silence and dejection, or did somebody stand up and have a word? Because I think a lot of people from the outside looking in thought maybe the title was gone at that moment in time.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. The reaction of the lads was just heartbroken. You know, we thought the league was gone, really. I think Tim was distraught, and Kev had a goal. You know, Kev's not really one for having a goal, but, you know, something was up then. But I think, yeah, you know what? I think it probably helped. It could have been a blessing in disguise, because we went out to Galway the following week. I think it was, I don't know who went out the following week, but we got results after that. And, you know, I think there was a lot of pressure on us going with that alone. We kind of just played the way we have been all season. After that, we thought, you know, we just finished in the playoffs, and I think, you know, that probably helped us in a way, like, you know.
Yeah, and just going back to your own story, you arrived at Drogheda from Shelburne at the end of 2018. What was it that made you be attracted to the project at Drogheda?
Well, I was at Shells with Kev Doherty when he was the manager there, and Kev gave me my debut. And it was a bit of a transition there. I don't hear he left, Ian Morris came in. And I met with Morris, but I didn't really know much of Morris. He didn't really know much of me, and I knew Kev, and and Tim, and I knew the football they were playing as well. And I think that year they were in the playoffs, they lost to Finn Harps as well. They looked a really attractive side, like football wise. And I knew that it would probably be good for my own development with the football they play. You know, Tim and Kev, you know, they're always urging me to go on, me and Connor. So, you know, I think it was the best decision I've made.
Yeah, and that's a theme we're hearing a lot now on the show today from people we're speaking to at Drogheda. A lot of people are pointing to Kevin Doherty and the role he plays within that dressing room.
Yeah, Kev's a character, yeah. Like I said, he's not one to give out. We had a pop of his after at loan, and you knew something was wrong then. But like that, you know, Tim and Kev, they work so well together, and everyone kind of bounces off them. It's like they're a mate, like, you know, that sort of way. But when they're needed, talented, they give you that as well. You know, but they're just as good as each other.
And just on Tim, what kind of a manager is he? From someone that deals with him every day, what type of style, or is there a manager out there you'd compare him to?
It's a tough one. I hope he's not listening to this. You know what? I don't know. You know, he's kind of a Guardiola type. You know, he loves playing football and stuff like that. And you know, you're not like, I've played under the managers where you're kind of not afraid to do things, but you're on edge and stuff. And he just kind of lets you freelance, like, you know, the sort of way. And he backs me and Connor a lot. He's always telling us to get up and stuff. Up and down. You know, last night we were a bit on edge, and at half time he kind of. He told us to step on a bit more, and that's probably what led to the goal. But look, he's a great manager to play under, and really enjoying football on him.
Yeah, I don't think he'll mind being compared to Guardiola too much, to be honest. But look, finally, before we let you go, what game are you looking forward to most next season in the Premier Division?
Personally, I'd like to probably Bowls. You know, I've got to a few Bowls games, and I can have a few mates that are Bowls fans. But the main one is probably Dundalk. And that's if we get a crowd. You know, I don't want to be going to an empty Oriel Park chasing shadows, you know. So I'd love to play in a big derby game. Dundalk's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone would love to see that derby back again in full flow. So please God, we will have fans back in the stadium as soon as possible next year. But Jimmy, once again, from everyone here Between the Stripes, massive congratulations and very best of luck going into the Premier next year.
Cheers, yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Yeah, as I said there, Gary, there is a game taking place tonight. It's Harps against Pats. I suppose from a Finn Harps point of view, a win there would bring them on to 17 points, 2 behind Shells, and they still have a game in hand on Shelburne as well. So all hope not lost yet that Harps could actually totally get themselves out of relegation trouble. But it'd be a big, big, big ask to go and beat St. Pat's tonight. But saying that, only 5 points between them in the table. So it shows there's not an awful lot between Harps and the other sides in this division.
No, certainly not. And look, if Harps will definitely get a bit of a boost from that win against Bowes. So look, there's a shout there. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Shelburne are looking over their shoulders there. So, you know, Shelburne lost against Derry there last Friday. So, Harps have a shout. We've been kind of thinking the whole way through that the playoffs are going to consist of whoever's going to win the first division playoff against Harps, and talking about Ballybuffet and stuff like that. But could be Talca Parker. Or the neutral venue, but it could be Shelburne that the first division playoff winner is facing.
Yeah, obviously we'll have a better picture after that result tonight. So we'll move on and we'll speak FAI Cup. And Athlone Town have got themselves to the quarterfinals of the Cup, and they take on Shelburne. But it looks a big ask here for Athlone, doesn't it?
Oh, huge. Huge.
They do have home advantage, of course.
They do, but you know, it's going to be a huge ask, as you said, for Athlone to stop Shells. Now, the only thing that you may consider is, are Shells going to do any prioritization of the FAI Cup? Of course, they want to do well in it and stuff like that. And there's, you know, it's still a quarter final at the same time, but Shelburne need to be in the Premier Division next year. That's their goal. That's the main result of this league this year. So I don't think Shelburne are going to be looking too closely at this game, and probably put out somewhat of a weakened team. And based on the gaps between the two teams, I'd say Shelburne are going to win comfortably in Athlone.
Moving on to the next one, so, because I'd have to agree with you there, so there's no point going back over that. Finn Harps against Shamrock Rovers. Again, you've got a heavy favourite in this one, and it's the Tallaght Club, the champions.
Oh, yeah. This is a great opportunity for Rovers to do the double. last year was her first cup win. And how long was it, Ciarán?
Yeah, very long time.
Long time anyways, right?
Long time.
Again, Hearts are going to be concentrating on the league. So Rovers have a great opportunity here to for a great shot at the double. So I can't see anything other than a Rovers win for this one, regardless of where it is. And I know it's in Ballybuffet, but based on their priorities of both teams, I have to stick with Rovers.
Yeah, and I think most people agree they'd love to see a Bowes Rovers final, even without the fans, because Bowes have been so unlucky not to reach FAI Cup finals in the last couple of years, and they've been the only team really that have pushed Rovers in the title race this year. Bowes take on Dundalk. Dundalk coming into this one off the back of travelling to the Emirates on Thursday night. So again, what type of team did they put out here? Would you make Bowes the slight favourites?
I would, you know, based on the way Dundalk dealt with the Waterford game after playing in the Europa League, is there any real point in having any putting any importance on the FAI Cup for Dundalk at this point? Probably not. The money, the value, the success is in the Europa League. And they also need to get into Europe for next year as well. So that's their two main considerations. So I think Bowes have a great chance here. They're safe enough in second place. So they have a great chance to get a nice little run in the cup, which will top off a great season for Bowes.
Yeah, in saying that, though, it kind of links in nicely what we were discussing with Filippo. I mean, if he could get silverware on the board, then that is him signed, sealed and delivered for next year in my eyes. And Dundalk, you know, they've got a winning tradition there over the last... Pretty much they've owned much of this decade, really, haven't they? Or the last decade. But there's obviously a mentality there now that they need to win trophies every year. Let it be League Cup, let it be leagues, let it be cups. Mm. I think the people involved with the club there will be very, very disappointed, and the fans as well, if they go out at this stage of the FAI Cup.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, you know, I would be looking at the Europa League as a trophy in itself. This is a great success for Dundalk. They're in it now. I know it's certainly a shame for the fans that they can't go to any of the games. But you know, the financial reward out of this is going to be absolutely massive. The FAI Cup is brilliant, but as I said, the two main priorities for Dundalk have to be Europa League and getting a few points on the board.
Yeah.
And also not getting hockeyed either. And then also getting
I think that's everyone's fear, isn't it, for Thursday night, that they could get absolutely hockeyed. And look, let's please God hope that isn't the case. But as you said, I agree with you there. Europa League, points on the board. It's not just points on the board. It's money in the bank. So it's absolutely huge for Dundalk that they do quite well in that group.
Certainly.
So I'm going to push you for a prediction of that game. Bowes and Dundalk.
I think it'll be 1-0 to Bowes.
Okay, I'm going to follow you. I think they might need extra time or something in that one, but I think I'd have to lean with Bowes. And I think the fact they've had some hard luck stories in recent years and the fact they know the league is gone now, they can fully focus on this. So I'm siding with Bowes there. It looks like Sligo and Derry won't be taking place because of the situation involving Derry and COVID at the moment. So we'll move on to the League of Ireland First Division playoffs. It's UCD against Longford, for now at least. It's Bray against Cavan Teely. We've kind of already touched on this. I don't think either of us are too confident about Longford's chances going up to the bowl.
No, we're not. Of course, we would have rathered the game to be in Bishopsgate. It's not the case. It's disappointing. I think the main thing is you want the momentum. You want to be on a high coming off the league into the playoffs to be in, you know, carry that high level of performance into the playoffs. I just don't see that from Longford. UCD have been a surprise for me. I didn't think they'd be doing as well this year, but they've been doing what they needed to do. The one thing for me, for Longford is, you know, they've lifted 4 points off UCD this year. It's a great second half performance that Longford carried out in Bishopsgate to win 3-1 in the end. But I'm not taking too much from that performance either. In the last few games, Longford just haven't been convincing enough. So,
and you'd imagine UCD have learned from that experience, because we said at the time they folded like a deck of chairs. Longford put them under absolutely incredible pressure. Now, if you're in the Longford dressing room, surely the message is to go out and replicate that. Forget about the fancy football. Go out and press the life out of UCD. You know, don't give any quarter. 110%, every ball, every 50-50. You have to win your 50-50s and go out and put in more effort than them. And if they're able to deal with that and they're technically better than us, you hold your hands up, better team goes through. But from a Longford point of view, they absolutely destroyed UCD in that second half with just nothing fancy, Gary. It was just get the ball up to the front men and press the life out of UCD when they had the ball and force mistakes. And that's what happened. So for me, I don't know why Longford wouldn't go. I'm going to sound old-fashioned here. Go 4-4-2 for this one and just play some basic football and just put the work rate in. As you said, it's a one-off game, 90 minutes. It could take a set piece. It could take anything.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to overcomplicate it. I'm still not convinced, and I haven't really been convinced since it came in, this three at the back system.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned that to me as well. I don't. From my point of view, it's not lack of effort. Even last night at Longford, the players were going at it from minute one to minute 90. My issue is set pieces. The amount of goals we've conceded this year, and that issue, regardless of what anybody says, it hasn't been addressed. We've been watching this carry on for so long, and nothing has happened. We're watching the same yarn week in, week out. So if UCD don't not spot that and capitalise on that, I don't think, I'm not sure how many goals they've scored from set pieces this year, but you'd be expecting them to go, well, Longford are absolutely dirt at defending from set pieces. That's something that we need to capitalise on. Free kicks, corners, throw-ins. And if they don't, and Longford get away with a win, then more for UCD. But if Longford haven't worked on nothing but set pieces from this week, which is what they need to do, that's their main issue, in my opinion, then they may forget about it, because this issue has been going on for way too long.
I actually think they have two issues. Set pieces, yes, is probably the biggest one. Yeah. I think throughout the entire season, and I know people, when the minute I said this, they'll say, well, Longford created a load of chances in the second half last night. I think there's been a big lack of creativity in the team, not creating enough chances, having loads of the ball, passing it backwards, passing it sideways, back to Lee Stacey time after time. Now, they cut that out last night. I think he only had maybe two passes to deal with all night. So they obviously said, we can't afford to be doing this anymore because look what happened against Cove. But look at Rob Manley. He scored 20-something goals last season. And all he's doing is running his socks off. He was playing more as a right winger last night at times. He's having to do all his own running to create opportunities for himself, because he's not getting the little threaded balls through the middle. He's not getting crosses into the box that he can latch onto. I just don't think there's enough going forward for Longford this season.
No, that's very true. And I think I said it to you last night. Longford, how many goals have they scored from outside the box? And then you said Dylan Grimes, of course, with the free kick last night. But I think the only shot I can remember from outside the box was Joe Manley in the 3-0 loss or 3-1 loss to Cabo. And he rattled it off the crossbar, and he's a centre back. So, like, there isn't even any, you know, apart from the nice little play around the box, there's not much of that. There isn't even shots from outside the box. A. Dervin is the only fella that I can really remember from shooting from outside the box, and he's not the worst fella at, but there isn't even enough of that. It's lots and lots and lots of possession. Lee Stacey probably had the most possession of any player on the pitch against Cove last week or the week before. And what good is that to anybody? No good. It's only good to Cove.
Just looking here, 26 goals in 18 games. Doesn't sound overly bad. Drogheda, though, 39. Bray, 30. UCD, 44. Camtealy of 25. Galway, 26. Cove, 21. So even Rovers, 2 of 22. So Longford have only scored four more goals. At Lone, 23. Yeah. And then Wexford are well down there in the goals column.
But yeah, well,
they haven't scored enough goals this year.
No. It's been absolutely rubbish. We got Rob Manley, top scorer in the league last year. And I will not even consider putting any blame to his door. He's been very good. He scored lots of decent goals as best he could. But it's, well, you mentioned the 3-5-2 situation that's been going on. It's just, it's not good enough service into him. The fellow will put it in from anywhere, and we've been giving him nothing but dirt. So I have to hand it to Rob.
It's not even 3-5-2, actually. We should point that out. He doesn't actually have a partner up there. The two last night, it was Evans and Grimes that played behind him. So almost like two number 10s. But as I said, I don't see a lot of creativity. That's not against the two lads. They were actually the two best players on the pitch last night, Grimes and Evans, but they're not staying in that position as such. They've been dragged all over the place. So Manly is often very, very isolated. So it's not 3-5-2 as such. You've got two in behind them, but he doesn't seem to be linking up with those an awful lot. Again, that's not down to him. I just don't believe in this system, but I'll be very, very happy for the boys to go out and hammer UCD on Saturday. And I go up and I'll shake Dara's hand and say, you had the system right, and I was totally wrong. But at the moment, I don't see it.
No, neither do I. And we both know that we'd love to be wrong come 10 o'clock on Saturday night. But I don't really have that much of a problem with the system. It's just the individual processes around the pitch between midfield and the striker that just isn't there. So look, like, you know, even last night, Rob Manley spent most of his time out the wings, fluting around, because that's the only way he got the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas we need him in the middle, looking at the goalkeeper all the time. But look, that's the way it went. Come Saturday, I think Longford, they need to come up with a better plan than they've had for the last few weeks. There's no doubt about that.
Look, we've harped on enough about the town there. Prediction on the game, I'm going to take absolute hammering for this. So I'm going for a UCD win.
I can't do that. I think it'll go to extra time. And I think it might go to penalties. If anyone's going to win it in normal time, it'll probably be UCD.
You want to say it, but you can't. If you think it's going all the way to penalties, you don't really have any confidence, do you?
No, I don't. But I think I don't know what to think. To be very honest, get off the fence, Gary. I think if it's sorted in normal time, it'll be UCD that come out on top.
Right, good, that's good enough for me. Let's move on. Bray against Cabinteely. Cabinteely give Bray a fair hockeying first day of the season, but that was a game played in a mini hurricane. And I think Bray, that actually put a bit of manners on them for the rest of the season. And they've been absolutely brilliant defensively since. And they've got plenty of really good attacking threat as well. For me, this is a Bray win.
Oh, no doubt about it. I can't say anything else.
Cabo, a bit like Longford, have absolutely fallen over the line into the playoffs.
Yeah, they have, but they've been falling for, what, the last 2 months. So they did well to keep into the playoff positions at all. They've lost four in their last five. You know, they've been at nothing. And even, you know, they were well beaten by Longford a few weeks ago, who we've said many times have been Longford's bogey side.
Yeah.
I can't see Cabinteely having much of a, or putting on much of a fight against Bray. Bray will have home advantage. They'll be disappointed, certainly, from coming second in the league, but I think Cabinteely won't put up much of a fight to Bray, and Bray will be moving on. When's the next playoff final for the first division? The following Tuesday?
I'm not actually, as I said, kind of with you, just taking it one game at a time, yes, to be honest.
Don't look too far ahead.
You'll only get yourself excited. But look, an awful lot going on this weekend. So let's move on to our charity bet, kindly sponsored by bar1racing.com. Big well done to last week's co-host, James Donnelly. He tipped Galway to beat Bray. That was at 4-1. So we got a nice 25 quid into the kitty there. So we're just shy of the 100 euro mark now. We're about 97 quid into our charity pot. So the pressure's on you this week, Gary. What have you got for me?
Right, well, I think I'm not going to gather you much money, but hopefully we'll get a win.
Yeah, let's just keep the momentum going.
Yeah. Bray to beat Cabo.
Yeah.
Shells to beat Athlone. Rovers to beat Harps. And I'm going to take probably the riskiest part of my bet will be Bowes to beat Dundalk.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at that Bowes game, all right. I'm staying away from it. I'm pretty much going the same way as yourself. Bray to beat Cabinteely, but I'm going to go -1 on Shells against Athlone. It won't be a big price, but just to get a little bit extra value. And likewise, Shamrock Rovers -1 against Finn Harps. So once again, thanks to bar1racing.com, who sponsor our weekly charity bet. Before we go, Gary, let's beat Arsenal against Dundalk. It sounds mad to even say that sentence, but Dundalk, this is the riches of playing in the group stages of the Europa League. Have they got any sort of chance tomorrow at the Emirates?
No.
Ah, so blunt.
Well, look, You ask a direct question. Look, it's a great occasion for them. One of the main things for me is that the fans can't be there.
Yeah,
it would be great, great little trip to head over. You know, head over probably tonight, get the night before, the night after, the whole lot.
Don't even run through it. You'll only make people cry.
Well, it's a sick thing. We've all lost a lot this year. Look, it's a great occasion for them. A great occasion for the players. It'll be something that they'll remember for a long time. I know the Emirates is a new stadium and all that, but it's quite a nice place.
No, it's no White Hart Lane or anything, but it's not a bad spot to go to, I suppose.
White Hart Lane, is that sure? That's
what the law has been to me.
Look, it's a great occasion for Dundalk. If they keep it respectable, I don't like thinking like that. But
no, I think that's the way we're all thinking, let's be honest.
Yeah, at the same time, it's still not a great thing or not a great position to be starting. Look,
that's not to say the players and the management of Dundalk are thinking that way.
No, certainly not. But at the end of the day, it's a great occasion. You don't want to write anybody off, even though that's what I've done. But if they keep it well and you know put up some form of performance, they'll do the league very proud. It's going to be a very well watched game.
Yeah.
And a lot of publicity around it. So, I wish them the best of luck. It'd be great if they managed to get something. Wouldn't believe it.
I'll send you a Dundalk scarf or something up in the post. You can wear it during the game. But
You probably have a few hundred up there, do you?
Look, the bookies are very, very rarely wrong when it comes to this type of thing. Barrowinracing.com are going 50-1 on Dundalk to beat Arsenal.
Oh, and do you know what the draw is? Probably 15.
I'm not sure, actually. But must be at least 25s, I'd say. Anyway, 25s.
Really? Oh, well, look, that's fair enough. I can't fault those markets either. Look, just best of luck to Dundalk, and I hope all the Dundalk fans enjoy it. And hopefully they'll be able to. It'd be great if they got a goal.
Yeah. We all still look back at that Stephen Rice goal.
Absolutely.
Especially the fact they put them in the lead as well at the time. But it was just an absolutely unbelievable moment. But unfortunately, they're not going to have 5,000 away fans to run over to in the corner of the Emirates, which as we said, is the real down point to tomorrow night. But yeah, best wishes to everyone associated with Dundalk ahead of that game tomorrow. Let's hope they do the League of Ireland and our country proud. But Gary, I hope we've done everyone proud with this episode tonight. Thanks to everyone that tuned in. And once again, thanks to Gary as well for this new bit of technology. I hope it turns out well, and I hope you've all enjoyed it. It just gives a bit more back and forth, I'm sure you'll all agree, without the sound delay and all that. So thanks to Gary for setting all that up. Thanks to our three guests tonight, Conor Hoey, Tim Clancy, and Jamie Brown of Drogheda. And again, congratulations to Drogheda. Congratulations to Shamrock Rovers as well. And that's where we'll leave it for this week. As ever, subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back again next week. Gary, thanks very much.
No problem. Have a good evening.